One of the differences I am experiencing doing church, being the church during summertime is energy is getting low and low and low. That's how I felt the last month. And then I think the way we go this energy path, probably we're going to hit the ground zero sooner or later. So I feel like we need to booster up a little bit. So this time that you and I, we will be the cheerleaders for God. Definitely, we gather together in this morning to worship God. And if we are not cheering God and cheering for God, no one will cheer for God and no one will be drawn into the awesomeness that we are experiencing in the presence of God. So in this morning, I just wanted to booster up your energy and your biosystem in here. When I say, give me a G, and then I'm going to be signing in here. We're going to be a cheerleader, all right? And then you're going to say, when I said, give me a G, and then you're going to say G, right? You know how it goes, right? Let's practice instead of me elaborating how to cheer in God, all right? Let me try. Give me a G.
G.
Awesome! That kind of energy I would like to experience in the presence of God, especially in worship. I'm sure that God can hear you and we can draw the big smile of faith, I mean, smile, big line of a smile on God's face by doing that. All right, let's try. Give me a J.
G.
You need to say this. This is a G in signing. So I'm signing with you. All right, give me a G.
G.
Give me a O.
O.
Give me a D.
D.
What does it spell?
God.
Awesome! Let's try another one. Give me an L.
L.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me a D.
D.
What does it spell?
Lord.
This one is a little gonna be a challenge, alright? Give me a Y.
Y.
Give me an H.
H.
Give me a W.
W.
Give me an H.
H.
What does it spell? Like you and I, Jewish, Hebrew, Israelite, they had a hard time to pronounce God's name. God's name is so holy, and God's name composed with the four constants, which we just spell it out. YHWH. How do we want to pronounce this holy name? Israelite, they do not want to pronounce this name. They do not want to say this holy name out of their unholy mouth. And they just see the word. They just recognize that that's the name of God. We spell the whatever we spell and pronounce the way we want it to pronounce. There are some exceptions in the language, in the English language, right? But in Hebrew, they spell it just constant. Especially name of God. They do not want it to name and they do not want it to pronounce that. But we, civilized people, especially westernized people, we just want it to name. When we bring the person in our existence, we try to name it first. That is the first step. When we receive the newborn baby to our family, first thing you and I, or people we do, is naming the baby. Am I correct?
Yes.
And when we meet people, the first thing we do ask, what is your name? I'm still asking people's name. What is your name? In this morning, I learned two new names. Linda and Scott, where are you? Scott there. I ask, who are you? What is your name? Name tells awesome things. It tells the relationship. In Hebrew language, they have a certain way to write the name, or write something, and pronounce something. So there, what to read, what to be read, what to be written is totally different. And translated this language into English is a challenge. One of the examples is when I move from Korea to here. In Korea, I just had one last name, P-A-K. But when I move here, and they spell my name P-A-K, P-A-R-K, B-A-K, so they say, what is your true last name? back. But they try to, based on hearing and pronouncing the word, they try to spell it out. That is happening in the naming of God, in the Bible, in translation. In the name God in Hebrew culture, there is no pronunciation of it. And Jehovah, we are talking about it, this is a wrong pronunciation of YHWH. Some people pronounce YHWH as Yahweh. It is a very important name, but we, people of God, try to call God's name. Not like just leave the word, the four consonant name like that. Why? Oh, why? H, W, H. Just having a four consonant name doesn't really click to us. But in writing, it is okay. But when we wanted to call God by name, it is hard. So when we translated God's name, YHWH, actually there was no W in Hebrew culture too, Hebrew linguistic, Hebrew language. It should be YHVH. But as we English people, we try to translate this Hebrew language into our alphabet, and then there is a change in the name V to H. Because in Hebrew language, there is no such a sound W at all. So in translating the old Hebrew to the current Hebrew, and current Hebrew to the English language, it is so complicated. If you call God Yahweh, probably God will not recognize, because is this my name? Like the people calling me with my Korean name, I cannot recognize my name when they call me Sunwook. And it is a ook sound. It should be coming from your belly button, like a ook, and about to vomit it. But that is a ook sound you need to make it. But naturally, and Americans, we cannot make that sound. But it's in Asia, especially Korean, they can make it a ook sound without making some uneasy feeling of surrounding. But that's why I got the English name Sunny, which is the same meaning to Sunwook, literally. And what kind of God's name are we calling? And then for the sake of the communicating, I am. And then I put a Jehovah there, but it can be Yahweh. It is a more popular name we use in the Old Testament. If you are able, please open up your Bible, Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 through 14 so far, but we're going to extend it one more verse to this, because this Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 through 15 give very important passage to know God's name and true meaning of God's name. All right? Verse 13, we're going to read this one together. And this one is the passage about God commissioning Moses to liberate God's people in Israel from their captivity in Egypt. It is a commissioning process. I am sending you to liberate my people in Israel. Israelites from Egypt. And let's read it at verse 13, and then we're going to go back and one by one. And I'm going to emphasize it one by one in here. Verse 13 together, chapter 3 of Exodus. Ready? Go. Moses is asking God, you told me to go and liberate your people in Israel, your people Israelites from Egypt, from the captivity. What should I tell them? What is your name? And he's asking the permission, and then what names does he need to use in this commissioning mission he's getting into. In the verse 14, God is responding to Moses. Verse 14, let's read it together. Ready? Go.
God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent to you."
Continue the verse 15. Ready? Go. Amen. I am who I am is sending you. I am sending you. I am is the identity, the name. And when we move on to the verse 15, it's use the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letter. Whenever you see the word Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized the Lord, then just assume that the behind this word translation, Lord, behind this, is YHWH. Just remember this. That is God's name. We have this Lord, L-O-R-D, captured, Yahweh, so called Jehovah, somebody called. We have 6,828 times in the Old Testament. It appears there. It shows the personality of God, not just a genetic deity. It is not just God of whatever, but it talks about the personality and then the relationship with you and me and the people of God and the people of the community in these places. And then while I was pondering this name, I got into the seven implications. Seven, wow, that is a big number, right? And am I going to able to cover all? Maybe so. Let's try. First implication coming out of this I am business is God exists. God is exists. I am. Not I was, what I were, whatever you wanted to use. And I am. Now, God exists. But oftentimes, we Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we know that God exists. Am I correct? If you believe that God exists, say amen.
Amen.
Oh, bring up the energy. If you believe that God exists in your personal life, and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God exists. But how? How significant role God is playing in your personal life? Yes, God exists. Yes, we come to church to worship God. Yes, God exists. How about your weekly life? Monday, does God exist in your personal life, at work, at school, in your family? How about Tuesday? What significant role our God who exists, I am, in your personal life, in our personal life, in God's ministry, in here, has some significant role is it playing? Think about it. Think about it. We exist in here because of God, I do believe. Think about it. Think about it. I know that is, I'm trying to emphasize the thinking process in here. One of the challenges I'm experiencing in ministry, in church, is not having thinking cap in the sanctuary, especially in worship. When we come to church, we decided to pull out our thinking cap and put it in the closet in somewhere, and we just come and enjoy whatever. But we Methodist Christians are the reasoning Christians. One of the things we are doing is reasoning with God and reasoning with the people. We need to put our thinking cap on. That's what I keep telling you. Think about it, not feel about it. Think about it. Our God is so reasoning God. Think about how you are taking the role of God as the children of God in your personal life. God exists. We say that. What do we do about existence? For example, when we are invited to the White House, we go dressed up, right? Just imagine that. Who knows, you're going to get an invitation. Who knows, we're going to have a president of this United States from our Sunday school. Who knows? Just imagine that one day in the future, you are being invited by the president of the United States to the White House for the reception. And then you went there dressed up. And the president is sitting right next to the fireplace in the living room there. And you went there and then you acknowledged that he was there. He is there, but you are chatting around with other people without greeting and acknowledging him. And then you already know that it is his party or her party. And then you went there but not engaging the person's presence there, because that person is so holy, and we put him in or her in a one box, one area, and you are putting yourself away and just acknowledge and do nothing about it. That is one of the things I was thinking while I was preparing this message. God exists. And we know that God is so holy, so awesome, so almighty. Yet, so we need to put him in a box right there somewhere in our personal life. And we are chatting around without having him and her and our God to involve in our personal lives. How significant role our God is playing in your personal life. I am means God exists now, here, at this moment. That is the first implication out of I am, God's name, YHWH. Second implication I'm thinking in is God's personality and power are God's, not ours. We are thinking about, this second implication. God's power and personalities is God's. And then I was thinking about, since I brought up in Korea in my early age, I thought about the religion in Korea and in Asia, Buddhism. They talked about the circulation of life, reincarnation, regeneration. And a person die, and if they did a good job, and then the next time, this soul will be getting the human form, body, instead of dog or pet or snake or something else. And then that is not the God we are talking about. God owns his own personality. And God exists, and God has a power, and he claimed his own power himself in here. Third implication I was thinking out of this passage, I am, name is, God does not change. Yahweh, do not change according to the Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And then number 4 is, God is the source of energy. God provided all the energy. You and I exist in here. Going back to the number 1, you and I exist because someone gave us the sense of gene. We call father, biological father and mother. But we've been influenced by people in our family, in community, and we become who we are because of the influence. We are being changed by the gene or set of gene we receive, and in the environment, the influencers we are being surrounded by. In this morning, I tried to be careful about naming the person whom we honored and remember in this congregation. We are who we are because of this particular person. And then we have so many people who pass by and shepherded our congregation to be who we are. six pastors before me did a great job. And I did not hear that much about all other pastors, and I did not get a chance to study all the ministries of this church yet. I will just bring one person's name in here. Pastor Bill. Last year, do you remember what happened in this congregation? Do you know? And then Pastor Bill passed away on the day of 9th, yesterday, a year ago. In this continued, his journey, his ministry continued, not just stopped the last year, but continued. I'm learning about ministry of God in this place by learning the leadership style of the previous minister and how God influenced and changed the congregation for better through the leadership of the pastors you guys had and the lay leaders our church had in the past. We are who we are because of those people who dedicated themselves to pull out their best to the congregation for the sake of the wellness of God's image in this place. Do you know that? God utilized those people. And God is currently utilizing you. Change this community. Change this whole world. God utilized Jesus first, and then God utilized you here and now to be the change agents for God's kingdom. Do you know that? But our God is not changeable. One of the things that I would like to bring it up is objectivity. We are called to be objective, not subjective. Our God is God. Who God is, I am. Not because of you influence God, but God influenced us. That is a fifth implication I'm trying to bring it up here. We are not changing God, but God is changing us through the godly people we have in our personal journey. God is changing this congregation to be more relevant, to reach out to people, to fulfill God's mission. Here and now, not we are changing God to accomplish whatever agenda we are putting on. God has a holy agenda for us. We are being changed because of God. God never changed. God never changed it in here. God summoned us to humble objectivity. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter how you think about God. God is God. I am who I am. God is God. That kind of God we are believing. That God is anchoring our life, our God's mission in the presence of God wherever we are. Because God is I am. Do you know that? Do you know that? God is I am, unchangeable God. The number six implication I would like to bring up to you today is we must conform to God, not He to us. Again, it is a similar way of saying it. God changed us, not we are changing God. When we put things this in order and know that this is a serious business in our personal life, all the challenges on the violation in our community, it would not be happening. For example, parents discipline the children in the house, not children disciplining the parents. In-house, parents, you need to set the principle, godly principle, to be a model for the children, how to be Christian persons of God. You are setting up the bar in the house. Me, I, as a follower of Jesus Christ and a pastor, I try to be set a Christian principle in this place. Bible, that's why I'm putting the Bible in front of you. Because this is the rule we need to follow. And then at the school, why do we have so many issues in school? The order is not in order at school. Teachers needed to be the teacher and students needed to be a student. When students try to challenge the disorder, not having teacher to be teacher. The violation happened and then all things that got upside down. That happened when Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve tried to challenge God. When God created earth, like as Elohim, we talked about God's name Elohim last Sunday. El as God, and Elohim is the Father God, Son God, and Holy Spirit God in one person. Elohim, when God created an earth and heaven, God put things in order. Do you know that? God put things in order and organized. Teachers needed to organize in classroom. Parents, you need to organize in the house where you are. Pastors and the lay leaders, we need to put things in order in church so God can freely work within us. This order needed to be made. One of the responsibilities as a pastor, as an ordained pastor in United Methodist Church, is put things in order. Not because Sunday is a clean freak in here. And then not because of my personality. It is my responsibility as a pastor. Put things in order. Let leaders to be led, lead the congregation as lay leaders. Women's group to be the women's group. And in education ministry, they need to be an education ministry. I am not doing the things because I am or the personality I have or characteristic or preference I have. But because of the order we received from God, Genesis chapter 1, and the book of discipline as a Methodist minister in a Methodist church, I need to bring those things in front of us to put things in order so we can finish the Genesis and move on to Exodus and then have Yahweh moments, receive the commission. Until we go through the Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we cannot move on to the Exodus. Sometimes we jumping around all of the places without putting things in order. We try to go out first. God does not work in that way. God, we believe, is the part of order. Genesis, Exodus, and it comes one by one. One by one. So let us put things in order in our personal lives before we do anything else. Your personal house needed to be in order first in order to be a contributor to God's ministry in church. If you are not, your household is not in order, talk to me. I will bring the resource from the church to support your family, put things in order so you can be godly parents, godly family, to be the contributor in God's kingdom. Until you are well in the household, in your personal life, it is hard to be the contributor. Lastly, I would like to bring us to pay attention to Jesus. God has drawn near to us in Jesus. If you are able, please turn your Bible, Gospel John chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. Gospel John chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. John chapter 8, verse 56-58. When Jesus was criticized by the Jewish religious, and he was defending himself by pulling out "I am" out of him. And when you are being criticized and then found yourself in a challenging situation, bring out this name. And let's read it together. John chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. Ready? Go. I am. The age is not the matters to reveal God's glory in your personal life. 5-year-old kids, they can bring the glory to God by knowing I am. 90 years old, 70 years old, 80 years old, doesn't matter how old or how young you are. If we are the true followers of Jesus Christ, we have I am within us. You and I are being created by God's image, in the image of God. We can reveal God's glory. In Jesus, we are born again to this image. I am, this new name, I am. You and I can be the I am persons of God to others by knowing the existence of God within us. You can be I am on behalf of God by knowing I am within you. Today, in this morning, I am challenging you and remind you again the mission of God in this place. You and I are the persons of God, not because you are great or not because you are weak, but because who God is, whose name is I am. How does it spell this name? YHWH. Whatever way you wanted to pronounce God's name, let it be so in action in your personal life. Amen.